Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To find out more about the program, Hank Hanegraaff, or other highly recommended resources to be better equipped with answers, go to www.equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you joining us for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK translates to 888-275-4265. As always, you can access us on the World Wide Web at equip.org through the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, our purpose, to make you so familiar with genuine Christian doctrine that when counterfeits loom on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. The importance of essential Christian doctrine can hardly be overstated. These are the very doctrines that form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. Essential Christian doctrine is the North Star by which the very course of Christianity is set. As the North Star is an unchanging reference point, a point by which sailors used to safely guide their ships, so essential Christian doctrine has safely guided the church through the doctrinal storms that have sought to sink it. Essential Christian doctrine is the foundation, never forget, on which the gospel of Jesus Christ rests, from his deity to the certainty that he will appear a second time to judge the living and the dead. Essential Christian doctrine is foundational to the gospel. All other religions, they compromise, confuse, contradict essential Christian doctrine. Look at the Muslims. They dogmatically denounce the doctrine of Christ's unique deity. They call it the unforgivable sin of shirk. They readily affirm that Jesus was sinless, but they adamantly deny his sacrifice on the cross and his subsequent resurrection as the only hope of salvation. Now, to internalize what you believe for essential Christian doctrine, I have organized the main and plain things of Scripture around the memorable hankronym doctrine And to master why you believe what you believe, I've organized the supporting evidence into easy-to-assimilate bullet points. And if you want your copy laminated in a flip chart, 4x6, you can put it in your pocket or purse, of Essential Christian Doctrine, What You Believe and Why, it's available right now for your gift to the ministry of any amount. Just a gift to the ministry. We'll send out this flip chart on Essential Christian Doctrine. You can access it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Via the mail again, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to Resource Consultants, 888-7000 CRI. First up today, Troy, listening on Bot Radio in Kansas City, Kansas. Hi, Troy.
Yeah, hi, Hank. I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
My question is concerning divorce and remarriage.
Uh-huh.
My wife divorced me a year and a half ago, well, a little over a year ago, and without what I believe would be just cause, which would be adultery, and there's, you know, she says there's no chance whatsoever for reconciliation, and, you know, she's pursuing other things, you know, as far as dating and whatnot. We're both Christians. You know, from my understanding in Deuteronomy and the New Testament is that the only exception for divorce is adultery. That did not occur. So, you know, I've had different advice from older brothers that, you know, one older brother said, well, really, in the eyes of God, you're still married until adultery occurs. That divorce won't be recognized by the Lord. Another brother has said, well, the real sin occurred when the divorce happened without just cause, and whether it was an unjust divorce or not, you are now no longer married, so adultery cannot occur. Fornication may occur, but adultery can't occur, but yet you should still wait until she's remarried and there's no longer a chance of reconciliation before you remarry. My reading from the New Testament is that, from 1 Corinthians 7, Chapter 7, that I'm not free to remarry ever.
Well, I don't think that's what 1 Corinthians 7 says. I mean, Paul points out that if an unbelieving spouse leaves, the other party is not bound in that circumstance. Conversely, he says that if the unbeliever is willing to stay in the relationship, the other party must not get a divorce. So I don't know that anyone can say for certain that you could never get married again. I do think, though, the advice that you have been given, which suggests that you should work towards reconciliation until the door to reconciliation is irrevocably closed, and it can be done through both your ex-wife getting remarried or dying. That door could be irrevocably closed. But I think we have to be careful not to be too legalistic in this whole thing. Because on the one hand, you can be legalistic by saying, well, she was not an unbeliever, she was a believer. But what do believers do? Believers are those who say, I have repented of my sin, and I'm following Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do it His way. If someone says, I don't care what the Bible says concerning divorce, I'm going to do it my own way, it's indicative of the fact that they haven't generally repented of their sin, and they're not willing to follow Jesus Christ and do it His way. They're still saying, I want to do it my own way. So I think even in that kind of situation, the grace of Jesus Christ is there for your ex-wife. And I think to the extent that you can work towards reconciliation, that is the best of all possible goals. But there may come a time that that door is irrevocably closed. And if it is, if you in good conscience have done everything to reconcile and you can do no more, I can't say on the basis of Scripture, I think I'd be going beyond Scripture to say that the door has now irrevocably closed to you to get remarried again.
Yeah. Now, what would be your position on the church that we used to attend? Now, I don't attend there anymore. It's a very small hall. Their position was that she can get remarried, but only to a believer. And they didn't really take the position that she should remarry me without a doubt, or with that she should not have gotten a divorce. They kind of hem-hawed both ways. And I don't know if you're familiar with A.J. Higgins' book, Marriage and the Family, but in that book, he states that there's really no acceptable reason for divorce. Maybe for, there are acceptable reasons for separation in very hard times, but, you know, reconciliation should be the key.
Well, I think reconciliation should be the key, and that's what I'm arguing for. But first of all, I'm very glad that there are Christian principles that are being wrestled with here. But I think it's duplicitous, quite frankly, to suggest that, okay, now you have divorced a believer. The only way you can get remarried is to remarry a believer. I mean, if you are willfully defying the principles of God, and there's no good reason for it. And again, I don't know. I'm an electronic voice. I don't know all the details. Typically, what's at the root of that? A misunderstanding of what love is in the first place. Love is not a feeling. Love is a commitment. Feelings can ebb and flow, but a commitment is at the bedrock of all biblical marriages. There are times in every biblical marriage that you don't feel like you're in love. There are other times that you feel like you're on your first date again. I mean, that's just the way it is in life. But if you make a commitment, you should stand by that commitment. You don't make that commitment because someone makes you feel wonderful all the time. You do it in sickness and in health, in good times and in bad times, and you ultimately make that commitment until death do you part. So I right. think that there is a covenant relationship that you make with someone, and you can't, in a capricious fashion, break that
right. well,
covenant
we definitely
relationship.
Had problems. I mean, I'm not blaming her completely by any means. We both have a lot of problems, but
well, here's,
you know, as far as the church's position, you know, from my understanding, was that the early Christians were divorcing their unbelieving spouses to remarry believing spouses, thinking that that was more appropriate. And Paul was correcting them, saying, no, if you're going to get remarried at all, you should.
Now, here's some good news for you. I'm coming up to a hard break. I don't want to be rude, but I have no choice. Christian Research Journal next issue will present an article laying out the biblical position on divorce and remarriage. I would highly recommend that you get a copy of that. I think this is going to be a seminal piece on the subject, and obviously has great relevance to you and your ex-wife. We'll be right back with more.
Easter is just a few weeks away, and do you know what the celebration is really all about? It's more than colored jelly beans and Easter bunnies. Understanding the facts of Christ's resurrection will radically change the way you view Easter, and indeed the way you live your life. Author Hank Hanegraaff zeroes in on the most convincing details that irrefutably point to the actual death of Jesus, his empty tomb, and post-resurrection appearances. After reading this book by Hank, you'll be able to defend the reality of the resurrection with passion and precision. You can order Resurrection online at equip.org or by calling our resource consultants at 888-7000-274. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man after this short break. Don't touch that dial. It's the first century, and the young Christian church is facing numerous obstacles. But it's determined to not only survive, but thrive. The Last Disciple and the Last Sacrifice by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. As you read The Last Disciple and The Last Sacrifice, you will be transported back in time when the ink was still fresh on the pages of Scripture. You'll take a front row seat in the arena as Christians face death with courage. And you'll be encouraged as John's words from Revelation give hope to the hopeless and life to those fleeing certain death. It will give you a clearer understanding of biblical prophecy as you experience history through the eyes of those who lived it. The Last Disciple and the Last Sacrifice by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. Available individually or for a special package price. Call 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Join Hank Hanegraaff and top apologist Lee Strobel, Dr. James White, Steve Kreloff, and others as they challenge the skeptics at CRI's national conference, The Battle for the Bible. Worship led by Grammy Award-winning musician Steve Camp. Highlighting this event will be a debate moderated by Hank between Dr. James White and Jesus Seminar scholar Dr. Robert Price. The subject is The Bible True. Plan now to attend The Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss, May 7th and 8th in Tampa, Florida. For more information, visit us at equip.org or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. Now back to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back now to our phone callers. Next up is Peter, listening in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Hank. I just have a few questions about, let me start with saying I'm a big fan of your show. I really like it. And anyway, I went to a church in Columbia, Missouri, by the name of the United Pentecostal Church.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have any idea what they were about until I did some studying and talking and asking questions about the faith, and it kind of raised a concern in me because a lot of them, you know, do not believe that in the Father at all.
Yeah, well, let me give you the bottom line. I mean, and the belief that one has to be baptized in the name of Jesus only, which is their position, has led them to the error that Jesus is himself the Father.
Yeah.
So they don't hold to one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, but to three manifestations of one God revealed in Jesus, and therefore they have all this legalism associated with their movement that unless you're baptized using their formula, you're not truly saved, and their formula is, I baptize you in the name of Jesus, not I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I've studied Isaiah myself, and their teachings about Isaiah is basically verses 7 and verse 9, chapter
7,
seven and, yeah. and chapter 9, where they talk about, I'm nervous.
Well, you're doing good, and you're bringing up a good point. I mean, I'm familiar with the passage, you know, where the in Isaiah 9, Jesus is called the Everlasting Father. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which actually has to do with the Father of Eternity. In other words, Jesus is the possessor of eternity. In Hebrew or Arabic, if you say someone is the Father of Strength, that means he's strong. If you say someone is the Father of Knowledge, that means he's wise. If you say that Jesus is the Father of Eternity, you're saying that he is eternal. That's what's going on. It's not saying that Jesus is the same as the Father. It's simply an idiom used to describe Christ's relationship to time, not his relationship to himself. He obviously could not be his own father. And in any case, you would never base an entire doctrine on one isolated verse. Nowhere else in Scripture is Jesus called the Father. So when you read that, you got to know something else is going on.
Scriptures, and you know, I've come to a decision. I'm going to leave the church. I have to, but I'm kind of scared to leave. You know, well, not scared, but just apprehensive.
Well, I think you should leave this, because according to oneness theology, the doctrine of the Trinity is pagan polytheistic philosophy, and they have a litany of legalistic prescriptions, including the test of rebaptism by their formula with evidence of speaking in tongues. No tongues, no salvation, and as you can imagine, this is going to put tremendous socio-psychological pressure on anyone to conjure up the gift of tongues. Because if you don't speak in tongues, you're thought to be lacking in faith or even to be entirely unrepentant. So this is a movement that I can say without equivocation you want to get away from.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Would you suggest a church?
Yeah, if you hang on, let me have someone talk to you off air, Peter.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, see if we can help you in that regard. And thank you so much for your kind remarks at the opening of the show. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Jenny in Chico, California. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Hank. Thank you very much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
And I was tremendously impressed with the CRI article on the local church.
Oh, thank you.
And your apology. I thought that was really groundbreaking.
Well, thank you.
I have a question. I'm feeling really kind of shaken to my core a little bit. I grew up with the, dispensationalism, being taught all that, and everyone in my church seems to hold to that, including my husband. But in my reading the Bible and studying, I come to understand that most of the events in the Bible have been fulfilled, including what Jesus talks about in Mark 13 and Matthew 23, 24, 25, Luke 21, and at least part of Revelation. And I also accept the early date of the writing of Revelation to be before 70 A.D., and I understand Jesus using the apocalyptic language when he talks about his coming. But where does that leave the second coming?
Yeah, it's a great heresy to suppose that the second coming has already taken place.
Right.
And full preterism, as an example, embraces that heresy. And I think what you have to look at is what Scripture says in this regard. Hebrews 9 says that he will appear a second time. Titus tells us that we await the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Think about the book of Acts, where you read that the same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Or think about the resurrection. Jesus is saying to us unequivocally in John 5 that we shouldn't be amazed a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. These things have not yet happened. And therefore, we await the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At that time, he's going to put all things to right. The problem of sin will be fully and finally resolved. The problem of Satan will no longer be. And then he's going to establish a new heaven and a new earth. Paul says in Romans 8 that the earth is now groaning in travail. It's awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay. Now, that hasn't happened yet. We still live under an old order of things. In Revelation 21, we read about a new order of things. The old order of things will be done away with. All things will become new. No more death, mourning, crying, or pain. Those things have not happened. This is the great hope we yet await. And so the notion that these things have already happened in the present is decidedly unbiblical. So we have to recognize that a time is coming that we long for. It is yet future. Jesus Christ is coming to live with us. The Bible says that God himself will be with us. We will be his people. He will be our God. And then it says he will wipe every tear from our eyes. So the whole notion of Scripture is that paradise lost will become paradise restored.
Yes. Okay, so then the fact that I believe that those things that are spoken of, that Jesus talked about in the Olivet Discourse, that those were fulfilled, does not, I don't have to worry about that negating his second coming.
No, not at all. In fact, imbued in his coming and judgment is the certainty that he will come again. So I think that it doesn't in any way detract from the second coming. It enhances the second coming and your belief and hope in the second coming. For those of you leaving us right now, please remember you can continue to listen to the broadcast on the World Wide Web at equip.org. For those of you staying, we're going to be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In the meantime, remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. If you can stand with us prayerfully and financially, we deeply appreciate that. The easiest way to do that, by the way, is on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all of the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus new answers to some of today's toughest questions. Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, packed with answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity, for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't touch that dial. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship.
Considering it's Mother's Day, a great time to honor your mom and husbands, to honor your wives. bring them on a great vacation. Let them relax in the beautiful Caribbean sunshine.
To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online at equip.org.
Join us this year for the trip of a lifetime.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible, designed to give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from Hank on the Bible Answer Man program. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym, LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. Order your copy today. Also, for $250, you can get a personalized edition from Hank. Just call 888-7000-274 or look for it online at equip.org. And now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you to all of you who are joining the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, your questions answered on the Bible Answer Man broadcast when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Translates to 888-275-4265. A lot of you hanging on. We're going to go right back to the phone calls. Talk to Richard listening on KCRO in Blair, Nebraska. Hi, Richard.
Hi, how are you, Hank?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm just fine. It's a privilege to talk with you.
Thank you.
I have a question regarding the book of Deuteronomy.
Mm-hmm.
It's often used by unbelievers and doubters in sort of a sarcastic manner. Some of its contents relate, for instance, to the violent punishment for a young bride who is not a virgin, as well as references to abolishment of homosexuality. And people will often ridicule that former example I gave as a way to totally dismiss the latter example, and therefore will often state that the entire book is without believability and relevance today, as well as perhaps including the entire scriptures as being outdated and of no relevance in a modern world. I've heard you several times refer to these civil and ceremonial laws in the book of Deuteronomy, and I think if I remember correctly, you've said that they've been rendered unnecessary with the birth and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm wondering, as I speak with doubters, if there is any New Testament references or sources that you know or have used that very plainly make that argument so that you know, one might be able to defend the faith as clearly as possible.
Yes, Richard. In fact, I wrote a little booklet that's got a lot of play. A lot of people quote it. You can find it referenced over and over again in other articles. It's called The West Wing versus the Bible. I don't know if you remember The West Wing. It was a very, very popular show on television.
Yes, I do. Now that you mention it, yeah.
President Bartlett. And but anyway, in that, I answer the question, do the very scriptures that condemn homosexuality commend slavery? and should football be outlawed because touching pigskin makes one unclean? And, of course, you know, footballs aren't made out of pigskin, but that's another story. But should we kill those who work on the Sabbath as prescribed by Scripture? Should we stone men for planting different crops side by side or burn women for wearing clothing made of two different threads? I answer all of those questions and a host of others, some of which you touched on in this. But I think in general, just by way of principle, there are three uses of the law in Scripture. The first use of law is to maintain order in society. And so there are universal laws that are never abrogated. They're as relevant to us as they were to ancient Israel. The second use of the law is to reveal sin. So sin is, from a biblical perspective, the schoolmaster that drives us to Jesus Christ. And then the third use of the law is to guide believers in living out the Christian life. So you have a civil aspect of the law, which is largely a function of a theocracy where God rules directly over a people. You have a ceremonial aspect of the law, which is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, therefore dietary laws and the sacrificial system and so forth, is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Even the Sabbath is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, it's not abrogated in the sense that we still have to follow the idea of the Sabbath where we work 6 days and rest the seventh, but we have our Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ, so the day of worship changes as a result of the celebration of Christ's resurrection. Then you have the moral aspect of the law, and those moral principles, as I just stated with respect to the fourth commandment, are moral aspects that we are to adhere to today, and therefore the Ten Commandments have great relevance for us. The emphasis, of course, in the Bible is on grace, but the law remains our guide for Christian living, except for ceremonial and civil laws, which are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Dietary laws are a classic case in point, where Jesus himself says it's not what goes into a man's body and then out of his body that defiles him. It's but what proceeds out of the heart that defiles him.
And through his mouth.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But
okay.
The little booklet, The West Wing Versus the Bible, if you want to hang on, I can get that out to you. I think this little booklet will help you a lot because I go over all these kinds of things that so many skeptics make it sound as though Christianity is duplicitous. Well, we pick and choose what we want. Even Barack Obama does that.
Yes, I know.
He says, which passages of Scripture should guide our public policy? Should we go with Leviticus, which suggests slavery is okay and that eating shellfish is an abomination? Or should we go with Deuteronomy, which suggests stoning your child if he strays from the faith? I answer all of that in the West Wing Versus the Bible booklet.
Well, that's an important source. I can't thank you enough for that. And I just also want to say God bless you and your work. And I also want to let everyone know that your flip chart for learning doctrine is very effective and very easy, and we use it in our family Bible study. So I want to thank you again very, very much.
Thank you, Richard. God bless you.
Yes. Goodbye.
Bye. Back to the phone lines. Ellie next, listening on WMCA in Boston, Massachusetts. Hi, Ellie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, and I listen to you every night.
Thank you.
This is my question. It's me and my husband. My husband is in the pastoral hiring committee for a congregational church, and he has been seeing, and this is something that he's very, and I'm very conflicted on, it's in homosexuality in the church. Not in the church as members of the church, because I think we should, embrace everybody that comes to the church, but in the church as a leader or a pastor of the church.
Yeah.
Practicing homosexual, leading the church.
Well, you have to ultimately ask this question. Do you want someone who directly and distinctly defies the Scripture leading people in exegeting the Scripture or understanding what the Bible is saying? the Bible's very clear with respect to homosexuality. Unfortunately, a popular sentiment today is that the Bible is increasingly irrelevant in a modern age of scientific enlightenment. So when the Bible condemns homosexuality, it's not uncommon to see expressions on their faces of exasperation. Because on the one hand, they say, well, look, the Bible condemns homosexuality, but it also teaches that Sabbath breakers must be stoned to death. And again, as I was speaking to Richard in a previous call, there are civil and ceremonial laws that are abrogated. They're fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and they were relevant in a theocracy. We don't live in a theocracy, and therefore they're not relevant to us today. But homosexuality is not abrogated anywhere in the Bible. It's enhanced. You see very clearly in the New Testament that homosexuality is something that God forbids. And he does that not because he's a cosmic killjoy, but he does it because our joy should be complete. And our joy is only complete when we do it his way as opposed to doing it our own way.
Right. And, you know, it's very difficult because I think the UCC, that are helping us feeling the position, it's very openly about it, and I'm all about inclusion, and I'm all about loving all the people, right? But what I'm having a difficulty saying that a homosexual, like you say, bluntly and openly, saying that they have a partner, a life partner, can lead our church when they are openly like that.
Yeah, and if you really love them, you have to point out that there are attendant moral and medical problems with sexual promiscuity in general, and it would be homophobic in the extreme to obscure the scientific realities concerning homosexuality. I think it's a hate crime of unparalleled proportions to attempt to keep a whole segment of the population in the dark concerning these issues. So far from demonstrating that the Bible's out of step with the times, its warnings regarding homosexuality demonstrate that it is relevant today just as it always has been. I think we have to follow God's ways rather than our own. He's the designer. He knows what's best for us. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. Be right back.
Get ready to set sail for the adventure of a lifetime. Don't miss our Western Caribbean cruise May 9th through 16th. Sailing out of Tampa Bay, Florida, you'll join Hank Hanegraaff and award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp for 7 packed days of worship and study on board the stately Carnival Legend. Incredibly low rates include all conference fees, accommodations, and dining. Dates in May make it a perfect way to honor mothers or celebrate special graduates. So for more information or to register today, go to our website at equip.org or call our friends at Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back, so don't go away.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
The resurrection is not merely important to the Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity.
Human history was changed forever by what happened on that third day. The Third Day by Hank Hanegraaff defends the resurrection of Jesus Christ in meticulous detail. It contains authentic evidence and factual proof for the resurrection, from Christ's torment on the cross to the empty tomb to his appearances and transformation. If you need tangible proof that the Christian faith is based on evidence and not mere emotion, this resource will be an immense help to you.
Belief in the resurrection is not a blind leap into the dark, but faith founded on fact.
The Third Day by Hank Hanegraaff, available in hardbound or CD. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. 888-7000-CRI. Find out more by going to our website at www.equip.org.
Is there scientific evidence for intelligent design? Are scientists being silenced for advocating it? Those questions and more are explored in the provocative new documentary movie, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, starring actor and writer Ben Stein.
91% of Americans believe that we were created by God, yet that belief has been completely shut out of any scientific discussion of the origins of life in schools. But new science is showing astounding evidence of a designer, and that science needs to be seen and heard.
Expelled exposes the modern-day witch hunt in which scientists and teachers are persecuted for questioning the theory of evolution. Stein confronts the world's leading atheists and Darwinists and uncovers their hidden agenda to suppress the new science that points to evidence of a creator. Expelled.
Order Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, featuring Ben Stein on DVD from CRI by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Apart from the resurrection, there's little point of celebrating either Christmas or Easter. Are you able to explain the historical truth of the resurrection to skeptics? Well, this month, for your gift to the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you his new Feet Flip Chart. Presented in memorable form, the Feet Flip Chart is a complete defense of Christ's death and resurrection. Don't delay. Request your copy today by going online to equip.org or by calling one of our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Now back to more of your questions and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and right back to our phone callers. Next up is David listening on Bot Radio in Missouri. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Nice talking to you.
Good talking to you also. I had a question. The other day, ran into a lady, and she was a Jehovah Witness, and in our speaking together, I got to be truthful with you, I was a little ashamed of myself. I didn't know the scripture any better than I did, because she kind of got me caught up on some things. But one of the things that she said that I just disagreed with her adamantly on, besides the fact that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior and that he's not hers, was the two kingdoms. She referred to the Lord's Prayer, and she tried to tell me that there was the earthly kingdom and the heavenly kingdom, and that, you know, I don't understand everything about what she was saying other than the fact that she believed that those who were good enough were going to stay here on earth and that they weren't part of the elect that got to go to the heavenly kingdom.
Yeah.
I just thought maybe you could help me out with that.
Yeah, well, first of all, what they believe is that there's a little flock of 144,000 depicted in Revelation 7 who get to go to heaven, and then a great crowd of other people who are relegated to living on earth. But this is a fundamental misunderstanding of the book of Revelation. The 144,000 and the great multitude are not two different peoples, but two different ways of describing the same purified bride.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, the 144,000 and the great multitude are comparable to the lion and the lamb. John is told in Revelation 5 about a lion, and he turns around to see a lamb. And in the same way, he's told about the 144,000, and he turns to see a great multitude. So the 144,000 is to the great multitude what the lion is to the lamb. In other words, the same entity seen from two different vantage points. From one vantage, the purified bride is numbered. From another, She's innumerable. She's a great multitude that no one can count. You know, this whole notion that 12,000 from each of the tribes means exactly 12,000,
right,
has to stretch the credulity of even the most literalistic Jehovah's Witness beyond the breaking point. You know, to begin with, 10 of the 12 tribes lost their national identity almost 3,000 years ago.
She pointed out something about the property rights of them. And I said, well, yeah, that's true. The Levitical tribe didn't have property rights per se. But then she's like, well, there's 10 different tribes or something. And later on in the Bible, and I'm not exactly for certain what she was talking about there either.
Well, I mean, look, if you look at Revelation 7, you have a variant list of the tribes. For example, where's Dan in that list?
Right.
You know, most of the Jehovah's Witnesses that I've talked to over the years, I ask them a simple question, name the 12 tribes of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do that. Most Christians can't do that, unfortunately. I mean, the problem is, though, they have a dilemma because they're trying to make 12,000 exactly from each tribe mean the 144,000 or 12,000 from each tribe. And they're trying to say they're the ones that get into heaven, the others remain on earth. But the whole context of the Bible is to have the 144,000 represent people from every tongue and tribe and language and people and nation. It's the full complement of God's people. And the overarching notion of Scripture is paradise lost becomes paradise restored. So the idea that there's a safe place up there in the sky that God takes some people to and then everybody else is on earth misses the whole point. God's going to redeem his creation to what it was prior to the fall. He's going to restore all things. He's going to give us a new heaven and a new earth, no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. Paradise lost will become paradise restored. God himself will be with us, the text tells us, Revelation 21. We will be his people, and God himself will be with us and be our God. So the notion that there is a heaven up there and an earth down here, and some will be there, and some, it's complete nonsense. It's a complete misunderstanding of the Scripture. Again, it's far more likely that the 144,000 is a number that represents the 12 apostles of the Lamb multiplied by the 12 tribes of Israel times 1,000. And this figurative use of the number and its multiples is established in biblical history. And so what you have, again, is the full complement of God's people, true Israel, as it was intended to be, the perfect symmetry and providential seal of God upon them. And true Israel, of course, has always ever been people from every tongue and tribe and language of people. Everyone who follows Christ is an heir of Abraham and is an heir to the promises God gave to Abraham.
Hmm. Hank, I had one other question too, if you don't mind.
Okay, quickly.
Okay. She also said something about Satan was a god, and I can't remember which scripture exactly she led me to, but it said something about the God of this earth. And I said, well, yeah, but that's with the little g in script there. And I said, so he's not a God. Was I wrong or was she wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the Bible says that Satan is the God of this world.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible also communicates that some of the judges in Israel were gods. But that doesn't mean that they're gods ontologically. Remember, words are not univocal, they're equivocal. They take on the meaning that the text allows them to have. Satan is not a god. He's the god of this world. People aren't gods, but they can represent God to the people and in that sense be called gods. So you have to always read words in the sense in which they're intended, and the context allows us to see the sense in which they're intended. All of Scripture as an overarching paradigm lets us know that Satan is a fallen angel, that he's created by God and therefore he isn't God. In fact, to worship an angel of any sort is idolatry. Even when John in Revelation falls down and worships the angel who's giving him the revelation, the angel says, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers the prophets. Worship God.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Thank you, Hank.
You got it, my friend. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ray, KSIV, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Ray.
Thank you for taking my call, Hank.
Pleasure.
Twice in Revelation, once in 21:8, and then again in 22:15, there are a list of folks that will be outside of the New Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Whoremongers is listed in both. Is that the same as regular adultery, or is that different?
Yeah, it's a word that codifies the notion of sexually immoral. In fact, it's the same word we get pornography from. So the root of it has to do with those who are sexually immoral.
All righty.
Okay.
Thank you, Hank.
You got it. And again, I think that is a stern warning. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. And then John in his vision hears Jesus say, I have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. We have the opportunity as the agents of God to give someone the free gift of the water of life. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the water of life. If we turn to Jesus Christ, he will forgive us of our sins. As we repent, make a U-turn on the road of life, and reach out our hand to receive this free gift of eternal life. And Jesus Christ will become our Lord and Savior and give our lives the meaning, the purpose, and the provision that our lives are designed to have. Comes through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember Monday through Friday at this time? Your questions on air when you dial 888 Ask Hank. You can access us on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. And do remember, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without your support, we cannot continue. With your support, we are together making a difference for time and for eternity. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time with more of the show.
Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.